Hey, moneymakers, welcome back to another live edition of Taking Stock. I'm Khalila Reynolds, and we're bringing you all the latest business news and telling you how it will affect you and your money. Remember to hit the like button and subscribe to this channel. Also, let me know in the comments where you're joining us from. Here's a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by what's hot in business. And come on, let's get this money.
Varita Investments has a new CEO. Rahman Small Ferguson is taking over as the head of Varita's investment arm. What plans does he have for the company? Rahman Small Ferguson joins us live to discuss. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. What does A.S. Bryden's dual currency listing mean for investors? And what other opportunities are in the market? We'll discuss. But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. The Jamaica Agricultural Society says it is not happy with the government's plan to remove the GCT on imported raw foodstuff. Finance Minister Dr. Nigel Clark made the announcement during his budget presentation last week. The minister said the tax removal was necessary to avoid sanctions from the World Trade Organization. However, President of the JAS, Lenworth Fulton, said Jamaica is not ready for such a move. He argued that removing the GCT will make imported foods cheaper and cause greater competition for local farmers who are already not playing on a level field. Opposition spokesman on finance, Julian Robinson, also noted the negative impact on local farmers during his presentation last week. He urged the government to detail its plan to help cushion the blow. KFC Jamaica is trying to eliminate long lines through its enhanced online ordering platform. The ordering platform, dubbed Easy KFC, is now available on the company's kfcjamaica.com website. The platform will allow customers to place their orders at 36 of the 40 KFC restaurants island-wide and pay using their credit or debit card online. Pickups will be done in-store, where KFC says customers will benefit from expedited service, bypassing the traditional lines and accessing a dedicated point-of-sale service area for online orders. ExxonMobil last week announced a new oil discovery off the shores of Guyana. This discovery is the company's first for 2024 and the first since Venezuela's successful referendum claiming the disputed Essequibo region. ExxonMobil said the discovery made by the Bluefin well increased the number of discoveries on the Stabroek Block to over 30 since 2015. The presidents of Guyana and Venezuela met last year to discuss the increasingly volatile border dispute, and both countries agreed not to use force in coming to a resolution. Adidas recorded its first annual loss in more than 30 years last week. The sportswear company has been struggling to right itself since it cut ties with rapper Kanye West in October 2022 and suspended sales of the highly profitable Yeezy sneaker line. According to Adidas, lower demand and overstocked stores in the United States have impacted the company's performance. The company's CEO said sales in North America fell by 21% in the fourth quarter and by 16% for the entire 2023. Adidas said it expects sales to fall an additional 5% this year.
What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Butterfly in the sky. What? I can go twice as high.
So if this is you, download my free e-guide right now, Financial Terms Made Simple. It's a list of 40 commonly used financial terms broken down into simple language. Because don't you just hate when you look up a word and it gives you an even bigger word as a definition? So this is not that. I've made it as easy as possible so you can just whip it out and use it as a quick reference when you hear a term that you don't really understand. That way you don't miss investment opportunities because you were too embarrassed to ask what a bond is or what an IPO is. The link is in the description. Let's get this money. Welcome back. First, let's shout out all our viewers all around the country, all around the world. Kish says he's waiting and checking in from London. We got Antoinette checking in from Arizona and says the heat is gearing up. Let me tell you, yesterday here in Kingston, I was on my computer and I got a notification on my computer saying record high temperatures in Ligonie. Record high. And I don't doubt it for a minute because it's been so hot. And it's just March, so imagine the rest of the year. Ugh. Roger is in the house all the way from Philly. We got Earl, who is ready. We got Michael in Portmore. Chevane also in Portmore. Philip in Turks and Caicos. Nana sends far, far away. Dalton in the Cayman Islands. We got Jackie from Kingston 7. Richard saying, blessed evening, everyone. Carlton from Jamaica. And Marvin saying, imagine Portmore right about now. Yep. Hot, 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 hot. And you know what's also hot right now? The politics. How many of you watched Mark Golding's presentation today? We didn't have it in What's Hot because the turnaround time was too fast for our little organization here. But absolutely next week, we're going to have a recap of all the budget stuff, including Mark Golding, Prime Minister Andrew Holness, Nigel Clark's closing presentation next week as well. And as you know, we have been covering the budget with our budget series on Instagram and TikTok. And yeah, it's also on YouTube, so you can check out our highlights from the budget presentations so far and highlights from Mark Golding coming up later this week throughout the week. Now on to tonight's show. Barita Investments has appointed Ramon Small Ferguson as their new CEO. So who is the man now in charge of Barita's investment arm, and what new plans does he have for the company? Joining me now to discuss, we have CEO of Barita Investments and Managing Director of Barita Unit Trust Management Company, Ramon Small Ferguson. Welcome back to the show, Ramon.
Thanks, Kalila. Happy to be here.
I said welcome back because you have been on the program before.
I have been,
in a different
yes.
capacity. You've been yes. promoted. But for those who don't know you, give us some background. Who is Ramon Small Ferguson?
Sure. So, I mean, from a professional perspective, I've been an investment professional for over 10 years. I joined Barita now 5 years ago from the Jamaica National Group, where I served in different capacities. I started out as an analyst, I was an assistant portfolio manager, and I left as chief investment strategist of the group's investment arm, JN Fund Managers Limited. At Barita, I've cycled through a few roles. I joined in 2019 to help to build out the asset management business and the research function as VP Asset Management and Research. I moved up to Executive Vice President of the same area. And then I took over as Executive Vice President of the entire investment function. Was promoted to Deputy CEO last year, and now I'm CEO. In terms of my background outside of that, I'm a proud graduate of the University of Technology, Jamaica, where I did a bachelor's degree in finance and marketing. And I also graduated last year from NYU Stern Business School, where I did my master's in quantitative management. I'm a CFA charter holder, a certified financial risk manager, a certified alternative investment analyst, and a few other things. I'm just a finance guy in general, very mm-hmm. passionate about the world of finance.
So you've climbed up the ranks consistently. Is this what you always wanted to do, what you always envisioned yourself doing?
That's a very good question. So, I mean, my vision for what I wanted to ultimately become evolved greatly over the years. So as a child, I actually wanted to be a zoologist. I loved animals, and Steve Irwin was my hero. And over time, it evolved, and eventually I fell in love with business. And I was able to narrow that down to finance as I went through university. And I'm here. I mean, I initially wanted to be in risk management, ended up in investments, and now I'm CEO.
What about finance appeals to you?
A very good question. So, I mean, what really appeals to me, Kalila, is the ability to create value from just an idea, right? Quite frankly, you know, whatever you can think about as a concept, there may be a financial solution that can bring that from concept to something that can actually positively affect the lives of many people. So that's really the ability to create that value, to actually turn something that's intangible into something that's tangible through financial solutions is really what gets me going.
Interesting. Now, I want to speak a bit about your vision for Barita as well, because I'd say in the past 5 years, the Barita name has kind of become a household name. We see it all over social media. We see the ads. We hear Barita being talked about. But this past year, 2023, I think was a challenging year for Barita. We saw profit dip. You had $479 million in net profits for the last quarter, compared to probably like double that same period, 2022. What's your vision for the company? And then we can look more closely at the numbers.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, over the last 5 years, Khalila, we have really set out to, as our mission at the group level says, to challenge the status quo, right? And that has been characterized by a lot of growth. As you have said, we went on a deliberate path to really sensitize the Barita name around Jamaica and in the region. And we would have gone about really infusing the business with a lot of capital, right? Financial capital, human capital. We've expanded existing business lines, gone into new business lines, and that has really redounded to the benefit of our customers, our team members, and our shareholders, right? So my vision for the business is really to continue along that particular path, right? But I have particular ways that I really want to focus on getting it done. One is really about the people internally. Right? I really want to help to make this business the employer of choice within this sector, within this region, right? I mean, I really want to expand beyond just being known for creating immense value to being the place to work in this sector. Separately, I mean, that's really part of that ethos of challenging the status quo and really seeking to change lives as a business. We want to be a part of the transformational things that are slated or poised to happen in Jamaica. So, I mean, you know, you have spoken on this show a lot about Jamaica's economic evolution, the fact that we have seen deleveraging of the country, the reduction in our debt stock. And now we're at a place where we can actually see real large-scale capital investments in areas like infrastructure here in this country. So we want Barita to be a critical player in that stage of Jamaica's, or in this stage of Jamaica's evolution, right? And the third thing that we really want to be known for is really connecting with our customers, right? And that has been a big thing for us. But I want to take it to another level. I really want to see how we can, one, use technology to really revolutionize how we interact with our customers. And two, I really want us to see how, from all dimensions of our business, whether it's products all the way to our branches are designed, how we can really continue to metamorphosize into the People's Investment Bank. Right? Mm. So that's really it across those three lanes.
You mentioned technology. What ideas do you have for using technology to accomplish those goals?
Sure. So, I mean, there is certainly, I think, you know, Khalid, if you think about the effects of the pandemic, there are many negative effects. But if we had to take one positive from, you know, the pandemic, is really the increased adoption and comfort that we have been forced to have with technology, right? And I think that has really pulled forward the viability of a lot of potential solutions, even in the sector, right? So for us, we want to be able to leverage technology to better serve our customers in a few ways. One is things like onboarding, right? How do you actually get in and become a customer of Barita? Now, we have online onboarding as a feature, but we want to revolutionize even that and make it very simple, make it a few clicks for you to become a customer of Barita. Separately is, how do you get your investment advice? I mean, do you need to speak to an advisor about every element of the market, or can you interface with us online and actually get at a minimum basic advice around things such as fact-based investment stats and things along that line. And the third thing is, how can you invest autonomously? So for those of us who are a bit more sophisticated, who can direct our own activity, how can you face a screen and go straight through from idea to execution in terms of buying different securities in your portfolio? And all of those elements are on our technology roadmap as a business for us to perfect.
Those are great ideas. And I want to ask our audience, let me know in the chat, what are your pain points with as it regards investing in Jamaica on the Jamaican stock market? What are the issues that you're having? If you're a Barita customer, what are your pain points? You have the CEO on right now. You have an opportunity to tell him what issues you're having. I love the idea of being able to get your investment advice online, having somebody that is there, that is available. When I did our survey, that was one of the issues that investors noted, that it was hard to get advice, just access, not even talking about quality yet, quality of advice, just access to advice, what to do, when to sell, when to buy, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, completely understood. I mean, we have seen that from our end, and it's really about how can we become scalable and more effective as an organization. I mean, I spoke about becoming really oriented primarily towards our customers, being the investment bank of choice for people. And the only way to do that is really to figure out how we can meet people where they are, meet their needs. I mean, Khalila, you spoke about your thrust to break down investments for an ordinary person. And that's a key part of what we want to do. But we want to make it so that you don't need to be sitting in front of somebody for them to explain it to you. You should be able to access it fairly easily from the comfort of your own home. Right?
So I have a few comments here online. Rashane says, Barita is the first broker where I open an investment account without having to ever enter the building. Javon says, I love a Barita app. I would love a Barita app.
Okay. All right, Javon. Your idea is already in our mind, so look out. And Rasheen, I'm happy that you were able to open your account without having to come into the building. But when you have time, you can stop by our new Kingston office. We'd be happy to see you.
So we have Shamar wanting to know, are there any plans to allow customers to invest more in foreign markets?
Very good question, Shamar. So what we are doing in general is to expand the business to become more capable. And one key part of that is more efficient access to different markets. And the fact is that it's important for us to deliver value to our customers, right? And what that means is that it's not only to deliver a product, but to deliver the product at the best possible price, at the best possible speed. So what we have been focused on with respect to our access to certain international markets is twofold. One, from a cost perspective, how can we minimize the cost that you're going to face in trying to access that market? And two, how can we maximize your access to information about that market, right? So we're not going to be sending you out into the wilderness, for want of a better way of describing it, by yourself. And we've been refining those two lanes. So right now, you can actually access foreign markets through Barita, but admittedly, we are not the most cost-efficient at it, but we're working at it. And twofold, you can access foreign markets, but the quality and depth of the information that we're able to give you in some respects may not be the best. We're very good in some areas, but not as good in others. Right? Now we're working on rounding that out. That's just me being honest.
Alexia wants to know, when will your app be ready?
Alexia, very good question. So we're working diligently on the app, right? And I can say that some version of it, and it won't be the end game, but some version of it will be available in the next few quarters, right, for you guys to test out, give us feedback, and for us to refine.
Next few quarters is such a vague answer.
It is a vague answer, Khalida. I'm not going to give you something for you to hold me to, but we're working hard at it. Right? It's our priority in terms of interacting with the customers. I mean, I think that it can be a game changer. because at the end of the day, apps are where it's at. I mean, several years ago, we never used to use apps, and now we use them without even thinking, all right? So for us, that's the next step in our technology journey. But we're refining. We're trying to ensure that what we put before you is easy to use. It's also very capable. It allows you to actually solve problems. It isn't just a shell. So give me a couple quarters. I just started as CEO. Give me a couple. A couple is better than the next few. All right.
Couple. That sounds like by the end of the year, more or less.
All right. Let's work with that.
All right. Shellyanne says, my pain is depositing money directly into my investment account from overseas.
Yes.
Any plans to make that easier?
That's a hard one, right? Or it has historically been a difficult one. You know, wiring money in, ensuring that it gets there, and then once it gets here, converting it as necessary. What we're trying to do is to develop more direct access to the international banking sector, so to speak, as a business. And that would allow for much more seamless transfers, both in and out of your investment account if you're operating in foreign markets. And I will say that we're very much down the road with that. I mean, when we think about the pain points, Khalil, and we too have done our research, it really comes down to starting a relationship and how easy or hard that is. I mean, people complain about how difficult that is. And then from there, the friction surrounding transacting, right? It's not so much the execution. People tend to kind of be able to figure out what they want to buy or what they want to sell. Where they have the pains are these operational elements, right? Where are my dividend checks? How can I fund into my account and fund out? How long does it take? Those are the issues that we're really trying to cut through, quite frankly, and get to the heart of. So with respect to that particular one, it really comes down to how well we're plugged into the international banking system. And I can say that we have this one squarely in our sights, and we're working on it.
So you can just do a simple wire transfer from your international account?
So you can, right? But the issues have always been, you know, identifying where this wire is coming from. Different banks give you different experiences and so on and so forth, right? So for some people, it's quite seamless. But for the viewer who just mentioned, she is among a number of people who have had issues, right? And we're trying to break down the reason behind the different issues. And as I mentioned, having some direct access into the international banking system does help to really eliminate or reduce significantly those issues.
Mm-hmm. So follow up to that question, let me find it back. 11 Coco Investor says, doesn't believe your customer service is very good, and also believes that there needs to be an easier way to add funds to your equity account. I don't know if this person is local or international. So we already spoke about the international issues. Do you have issues locally with funding accounts as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very sorry that your customer experience wasn't very good. But what I can say to you is that is an area of continuous evolution for us. I mean, I'd love to hear from you directly, your experience, just to see how we can learn from it and see how we can refine. Right? But with respect to funding in and funding out of accounts, as I admitted in my statement just previously, that is an area of pain for many people. Right? Getting into the account and getting out, and their experience may be different each time. What we're trying to do is, one, make the experience smooth, and two, make the experience consistent across the board with different investors. So, I mean, I know that generally, people have expressed friction in that area. I know that some people have a great experience. And I know that some people have a great experience, but don't have a great one every single time. And so, again, breaking down, both diagnosing and solving the operational issues of investing is a critical part of enhancing the overall customer experience. And I set out here my three goals. I never said that they weren't ambitious. Mm-hmm. And the reason there are goals is because there is work to be done. And so I'm on it. I'm working to be the employer of choice. I'm working to be part of the large-scale transformation of the lives of people here in Jamaica, the improving quality of life. And I'm also working to make sure that the customer sees us as the place to be. So the work is being done.
Couple comments on IG. We have Strides B saying, we'd love to have more avenues to invest in U.S. equities, which we already spoke about the plans there. And then we have Gal Kahita saying, access to advice would change the game in so many ways. Be the ones to do that and you win. So so get on that. We have more comments here on YouTube and Facebook as well. Let me see where we go. Philip says, congrats, Sir Ramon. We would like to see more tradable bonds on the JSE this year. Any plans for Barita Investments to bring some this year? And how is the IPO pipeline?
Very good question. So, I mean, it's fantastic to see how the Jamaican investment landscape has evolved. I mean, the Jamaica Stock Exchange has done a fantastic job alongside the broker community to really grow the pool of investors in the stock market over the course of the last decade in particular. So on the bond side of things, which is, you know, not a new avenue for investing, but certainly catching on and becoming more popular here in Jamaica, I certainly expect to see a lot more tradable bonds coming out. I mean, a number of companies have raised money via private placements, which are more targeted towards what they call accredited investors here in Jamaica. I expect, however, some of those companies and others to start to access funding through more public bonds, particularly publicly listed companies who are already subject to all the disclosure requirements that comes with being public. I expect them to see the public bond market as being an area to access funding, and I therefore expect to see a few more bonds being listed on the JSE. With respect to the IPO pipeline, what I'd say is last calendar year was a very challenging year from an IPO perspective for the Jamaica Stock Exchange. I mean, we only had one, right, which was a listing that we would have brought to market, One Great Studios.
Right.
My expectation for the rest of the year, just based on what I'm hearing and seeing in my own business, is that we're definitely going to have more than one. That means at least a 200% of what we saw last year. I mean, the fact is that companies are regaining their confidence, and some of them are pushing ahead despite the circumstances. I mean, we would have seen the announcement last week from the Minister of Finance of the government's intentions to amend legislation to support an increase in the cap of the amount of capital that can be raised on the junior market. I think that's going to bring some companies out as well. So I'm excited for the prospects for this year, and I certainly think that there may be a pickup in terms of the number of companies that list, albeit to come in from a base of one, right? So that's not a revolutionary pronouncement to make.
Chevane wants to know if you have any plans to open more branches regionally, specifically in TNT.
Good question, Chevane. So what I'd say is that as an organization, we have been doing a good bit of business within the Caribbean region, right? And I spoke about one of the effects of the pandemic earlier, meaning us embracing technology. But one thing that we have also embraced is doing business virtually and digitally, right? I mean, during the pandemic, I did very large-scale business with people who I never met up until maybe even last year. Right? So we have been able to branch out and do a number of transactions with a regional focus. I mean, one transaction that was very public is, for example, the cross-listing of Massey here in Jamaica. We would have collaborated with First Citizens Investment Services on that. With respect to boots on the ground within different markets within the region, I can say that that's something that we have explored extensively, but we're not waiting on boots on the ground to serve clients throughout the region. So we have very good connections in Trinidad, and we have demonstrated that through collaborating with a number of them over and over, will continue along that path, but no immediate plans for boots on the ground in that market at this time.
Okay, somebody else asking locally, what about here? St. Anne location on the way, and I saw somebody else ask about Portmore.
St. Anne and Portmore. So Portmore is very densely populated. That's where everybody is, right? And in St. Anne as well. I mean, St. Anne is growing both from a commercial and residential perspective. I can say that we definitely have plans for Portmore. I'll say that on this show. Khalil, I'll break it here first. We have already done a lot of the foundational work around that. So you will start to see the banners going up soon. I won't tell you the exact location, but we are certainly going to be welcoming all the Portmore residents with open arms in our new branch. So I'll share that here first.
What's the timeline on that?
So that one, Khalila, is actually sooner than the timeline I gave you before. As I said, we've done the foundational work, so I expect to be opening a new branch before the end of the year.
Sometime this year. Awesome. Congratulations when the time comes. Congratulations in advance. Nigel is expanding that thought. Any thoughts of listing on the Trinidad Stock Exchange?
Yeah, good question, Nigel. So, again, we have been able to attract investors from all over the region right here from Jamaica. I mean, the fact is that the Jamaica Stock Exchange, by any metric, is the most vibrant and deepest stock exchange and market within the Caribbean region. In our second largest shareholder is Trinidad, just as an example. That being said, while we're open to many different avenues of capital raising, as we have shown, there are really no immediate plans for any cross-listing on the TTSE at this time.
Okay, I just found back the comment about Sunshine City. So he answered your question, Chevane, coming to the Sunshine City. 1-1 Coco. So this is a person who said he had problems with funding the account. Apparently this person is overseas, and he or she says a dividend reinvestment program would be a game changer.
No, I mean, completely agreed. And I mean, we know Barita has been a fairly consistent dividend payer. I believe that these programs exist in spots on the JSE, but for sure making it more popular and allowing investors to benefit from compounding over a long period of time could definitely change the game. So you're giving me some ideas there. Thank you very much. I still want to hear about the customer service issue. So maybe before the end of the show, I'll give Khalila some insights into how I can be contacted directly.
Yeah. Well, the same person, Chevane, also commended your customer service, saying with the exceptional great customer service Barita offers. You answered the rest of the question. How do you plan to convert that with apps and websites and digital stuff? We already spoke about that, but I just wanted to point out that you had somebody else who commended Barita's customer service.
The key, Khalila, is to make the experience consistent, because that is definitely the feedback that we've gotten. I mean, the vast majority of our customers are like Chevane, but there are a few that may have had a bad experience here and there. So, I mean, while we really appreciate the positive feedback, you know, we will take the constructive feedback as well, because that's how we learn and grow, right? So I'm very happy that someone on here had a good customer service experience with us.
We have a lot of questions coming in for you, Ramon. Steve wants to know if you have any plans to do an index fund.
Yeah, very good question, Steve. So we're always thinking about how can we add more value via our product stack, right? And an index funds have been used internationally as a easy way to get exposure to the market. Very passive, people just invest and they close their eyes and years pass and they benefit. Our local market has seen a couple of index funds list to it with mixed outcomes, and that's really no fault of the fund itself, it's just the market. What I'd say is, to the extent that an opportunity presents that's unique in that area, we will latch on to it. Right? But we're not intending to do more of the same. It would reasonably need to be something unique that really adds value. But we'll prospect it.
We have a suggestion from Shelly-Ann, who is the person who was complaining about funding the account from overseas. So yes. She says, has Barita looked into global transfer with Visa and MasterCard? It is treated like a purchase and there is no fee to send the funds. And then she continues, wire transfer is so last century. With yes. Visa, MasterCard, card, global transfer, everything is done online or from the banking app.
Well, Shelly-Ann, thanks for that suggestion. Right, I will say that I'm familiar with that feature, or more so from the MasterCard side. So it's something that we will definitely need to look into because, as you have said, it's instant and frictionless, and that's the kind of customer service experience we want. So I can promise you that we're going to be looking into it.
Yeah, this turned into an Ask Ramon session because the viewers are so excited to talk to you, Ramon.
Keep the questions coming.
I'm going to take one more, actually. So, and this one comes from Eats. I think Eats was also on Instagram. I was just about to come to it, but moved over to YouTube. What advice do you have for a new investor coming into Barita with a lump sum of funds that doesn't have much knowledge of the market and offerings?
Good question. So, It's like any new relationship. It starts out with getting to know each other, right? So one, we will help you to get to know yourself as an investor, right? And the first port of call is determining what's your appetite for risk. So how much risk can you take based on your circumstances? And we also want to explore how much risk you're willing to take based on your own personality, right? And the key is to try and bridge the gap between the two. Some people are willing to take a lot of risk, but their circumstances really don't allow them to take much risk, right? They may be, for example, older with less investable funds, right? And you know, if that is the case, then you really should be focused on lower risk investments. And similarly, some people may have no appetite for risk whatsoever. Then they may not be willing to take any risk, but they have the capacity to take a lot of risk. So the first thing is to get to know the person and their circumstances. The next thing would be to curate a portfolio that matches up with those objectives. So I want to know, what are your goals, right? You want to own a home in 5 years, or is it a year? If it's 5 years, then maybe we can put a portion of your portfolio into risky assets. But if you need to have a deposit in 6 months and this lump sum is that deposit, then we will need to put it in something safe. So the key is going down that path of us getting to know you getting to know yourself better as an investor. There is a basic investor education that will need to take place because you're just starting out. And I mean, I always tell people it's like going to the doctor. If you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a diagnosis, you don't automatically become a doctor, but you start to learn from the doctor and other sources what this diagnosis is about, right? And you learn more and more each time you visit. And that's how investing is. You start out and you learn more and more along the journey. So it's an education session that starts the process, and then we get to execute it thereafter. So the advice that I'd give to that investor is to learn as much as possible upfront, such that you're comfortable executing over time. And the next thing I'd say is, ask multiple opinions, right? Don't just rely on one person. I mean, even us, we give quality advice, but perspectives are very good. And it will also help you to figure out what you need to ask us when you come to query about your money and hold us accountable, right? So get multiple perspectives is the next bit of advice I'd give.
Absolutely. And Eats, you can always take my Investing for Beginners course or just start out with the free guide, which gives you, what was it called again? Financial Terms Made Simple. And that will help prepare you for your conversation with your investment advisor at Barita or elsewhere, wherever you decide to eventually open your investment account. Ramon, earlier, I got sidetracked because we got so many questions, but I was asking you about that dip in profits, which was $1 billion, and then it fell down to 470 something million. What happened in that last quarter of 2023, and how do you plan to change it?
Of course. So, Khalil, I mean, it's really in the context of the market. I mean, the fact is that, and, you know, we've been talking to our shareholders over the course of the last several quarters in our investor briefings and in the reports that accompany our numbers to give guidance around market conditions. The fact is that we've all seen it. Traditional assets have taken a bit of a hit over the course of the last 18 to 24 months. Interest rates, both locally and internationally, have seen an unprecedented rise over an unprecedentedly short period of time. Right? Locally, we have seen benchmark rates, Bank of Jamaica benchmark rates, go from 0 to 7%. Internationally, we've seen rates go from very near to 0 to 5%. And that has been, that has created a difficult environment for stocks, bonds, all the things that both us and our clients typically invest in. And what that has created is an environment where traditional earning sources have been challenged. I mean, net interest income, as an example, which is the income that we generate from the assets that we invest in versus the expenses that we pay out to our clients who place monies with us, that has fallen because interest rates have gone up. Similarly, trading has been down. People are less interested or less invested in the market, in the stock market, in the bond market, and therefore revenue from that area has gone down. And finally, less companies have been doing deals, and the deals have been smaller in size. Again, interest rates have moved up materially, and a company who could probably borrow money at 7% 2 years ago will now have to pay 11.5% or 12%. That's scary to some entrepreneurs, right? That being said, if you look at what would have happened for our earnings relative to the previous year, you'd have seen a fall in revenue attributed to the market environment in general, but it is unique to Barita. In fact, I mean, a number of our counterparts in the same sector have even seen profits disappear and become losses as a result of the same kind of factors. So I think that the fact that we would have generated a profit, albeit materially lower than the previous year, is actually evidence of the resilience of our business, right? Which is something that we have set out to build since taking the business over. We've really been pushing diversification. We've added new business lines, reduced the reliance on interest income, as an example, which was over a third of our revenue before the acquisition and fell down to as low as less than 20% when our revenue was at its highest. Right? So really, I mean, looking back at what would have caused the decline in revenues and looking forward to future quarters, we're very optimistic. I mean, I spoke a bit earlier about my view, what will happen with new listings and capital market activity in general, and we're already seeing an uptick there. Additionally, rates have stopped going up, and certainly we don't anticipate that they will go up again to the degree that they've gone up before or at the pace, right? And therefore, with interest rate stability, it starts to give an opportunity for us to see a resurgence in some of the traditional areas of revenue. So net interest income, for example, is poised to improve. Trading is poised to improve as well. And overall, investment banking activity from that uptick in capital markets will improve too. So from our perspective and from my seat, I'm very optimistic about our ability to really expand the value creation in the business and by extension to improve our revenues going forward. So it's a difficult time for the market in general. I mean, if you look across to my counterparts, you'll see it too. But we've built a very resilient business. We raised over $33 billion in capital, Khalila, to not only take advantage of opportunities as they've presented themselves, which we have, but to ensure that it's a sturdy base. So even if there is a storm of interest rate increases or, you know, a wave of declines in the stock market, you still have a very strong business that can produce a profit, albeit more modest, that can pay a dividend, maybe a bit more modest at this point in time in the cycle. But I'm really more interested in the upswing, and I think that we will return to an upswing, you know, at some point in time in the not so far future. So that's really what we're working towards.
Do you see signs of that starting now?
We have seen signs of that starting, and I'll tell you where. And capital market activity has increased. Some more companies are coming out raising money, and you've seen it. It's made its way to the traditional media. And again, interest rates have leveled off for a while now. And what that means is that the funding cost of businesses like ours is fairly stable. And at the same time, we are able to now reinvest in assets at higher rates of return, right? So we maybe would have invested in assets 3-4 years ago at 6% and 7%. And those assets are now maturing, and we're able to invest at 10% and 11%, which will in turn redound to the benefit of future revenues. Trading activities is picking up again, which is an area that would have been quelled by higher rates over the course of the last several quarters. And there have been improvements in revenue sources there for securities dealers in general. So for sure, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, a silver lining to the cloud. And I can tell you, Khalila, that in many respects, Jamaica is in the best place that it has probably ever been from the perspective of investment opportunities, given the macroeconomic stability that we have benefited from over the last decade. So, stability our creditworthiness presents opportunities for investment banks like us, so optimistic.
All right. Thank you very much, Ramon. Truly appreciated. And all the best in your new role.
Thank you so much, Khalila. I appreciate it too. And thanks to everybody for watching. Thanks for all the questions and the comments. And looking forward to continuous feedback. I'm here to listen and work on your behalf. All right?
Good stuff. We shall be seeing a lot more of you. And now to our viewers, it is time for tonight's poll question. So as you know, it is budget season right now. And today's headline, Mark Golding, opposition leader, made his budget presentation, but I think it might have been overshadowed by what happened towards the end of his budget presentation. You had Prime Minister Andrew Holness and several others walking out of that presentation because Mr. Golding criticized his wife, well, the Prime Minister's wife, Juliet Holness, as being appointed Speaker of the House. So what do you think about that? Here are your options, and you can take this poll on Twitter or on the community tab of this YouTube channel, or you can just leave your comments in the chat. A, we should get back to the business at hand. Time is money. B, this was distasteful. C, it was fair for Mark Golding to question her appointment. D, why the issue now? The PNP supported her appointment. Or if you have another opinion, you can just leave a comment. What do you think about Prime Minister Andrew Holness and others walking out on Mark Golding's budget presentation? Take the poll on Twitter or on the community tab of my YouTube channel. You can also leave your comments in the chat. Reminding you as well to hit that like button. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by. Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KhalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JC Combined Index lost over 3,000 points or 1% last week. 124 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week, ending Friday, March 15, 2024. 43 made gains, 69 lost value, and 12 stayed the same. 153 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $902 million. Wigton was last week's most traded stock. It took up 23% of market volume with 36 million shares trading. The stock gained 5 cents to open the new week at $1.12. Carreras traded the second highest. The stock gained 1 cent to open Monday at $8.56. And Trans-Jamaican rounded out last week's most traded with 19 million shares changing hands. The stock lost 9 cents to open Monday at $3.49. Now let's see who had the biggest gains for the week. Cygnus Real Estate Finance USD was the market's biggest gainer, up 39% last week. The stock opened Monday at 10 cents. The Lab was the week's second biggest gainer, up 22%. And QWI Investments was up 20% to close the week at 78 cents. On the losing side now, JMMB 7% VRJMDCR preference shares was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 31% open Monday at $2.23. JMMB Group 7.15% cumulative redeemable preference shares had the second biggest dip. The stock lost 19% open the new week at $2.76. And Margaritaville Turks USD lost 17% to close the week at 10 cents US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index gained 8 points or 1% last week. Massey was the most traded stock. The stock's price was unchanged, opening Monday at $4.39 TT. One Caribbean Media was the biggest gain of the week. The stock was up 10% to start the week at $3.77 TT. And on the losing side, Guardian Media fell 11% to open Monday at $2 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 were mostly flat last week, while the Nasdaq was dipped 0.5%. Over at the pumps, gas prices fell 9 cents last week, while the price of regular diesel dipped 25 cents and low sulfur diesel fell 65 cents. In foreign exchange, it took an average $154.90 Jamaican to purchase one US dollar last Friday. That's $1.05 less than the week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $115.92 Jamaican to purchase one Canadian dollar. One British pound cost on average $200.18 Jamaican. And finally, you could buy 1 euro for $172.01 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices were down 6% over the past 5 days, trading at $68,280 US on Monday, while Ethereum prices were down 10%, trading at $3,590 US on Monday.
This segment of Taking Stock, The Analyst, is brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. Before I introduce this evening's analyst, let's take some responses to the poll regarding the PM and team walking out of Mark Golding's budget presentation. So we have Nikki, who says it was distasteful. Busha says Mark Golding is petty. Wholeness should have ignored him. Lavar said D. What was D again? Let me find out what was D. D was why the issue now, the PNP supported her appointment. Andre also said D, Juliet Holness's appointment was supported by the PNP. Same thing from LeVar, why question her appointment now? Roswell talking about something else. Roswell says maybe stock may be suppressed now, but it's still a good time to pick up some. We can't time the market. One good news and market bulls. I just saw some news read international markets, U.S. markets. Chipotle is doing a 50-to-1 stock split, and the price went up like $170 today just on that news. So Chipotle trades at like 2,700 and change USD. Now they're doing a 50-to-1 stock split. And if you want to know what a stock split is, I have videos on my channel. You can just search Khalilah Reynolds stock split and you can get a good idea of what a stock split is and how that can potentially benefit you. All right, so it's time now for the analysts. I'm joined by Clive Charlton, equities trader at JMMB. Welcome back, Clive.
Thanks for having me again, Khalilah. Always good to be on the show. Yes.
The people's favorite analysts.
Ah.
Now, there's fans and all your fans who look out for you every single time. They're always like, big up, Clive.
Ah, it's good to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So today you're talking to us about A.S. Bryden. They have a dual currency listing coming up. What does that mean? Who is A.S. Bryden? Just give us the update.
Yes. Okay. Well, the focus is really on dual listed or dual currency listed securities, but we'll focus specifically on A.S. Bryden because it is the most recently listed security of such nature. Right? A.S. Bryden, it's a company that is domiciled in Trinidad. It has regional reach. It just acquired a new entity. It, along with Seprod, its parent company, acquired some rum trading and distilling company in Barbados. Its fundamentals, that is, its financials, are fairly strong. The market appreciates it. We think that it can grow across the industry and in Jamaica in particular. And since its listing last November, the price of roughly, I think it's about $22. It has traded as high just recently, up to last week at $41, and has settled at about $39.99, probably about $40 just since week today. Yeah. So this stock has performed well. It is a fairly conglomerate. It has about 13 companies, either wholly owned or subsidiaries under its holding. Of course, this acquisition in Barbados should jump that up. You know, it is about 54% owned by Seprod. I think Seprod and related entities, including Mawson, owns about probably about 67 to 70% of that company. So it is part of a very strong, powerful regional and international conglomerate, properly managed, well managed. And also, as a company related to Seprod, it is one of several related companies that are listed on the exchange. So we kind of appreciate also that people are sharing, these investors, the principal shareholders are sharing the opportunities that this company and all the other related companies bring to them. They are sharing it to the marketplace by listing it. Ace Brighton should be listed in the Trinidadian market. That indicated that they have intention of doing so. For such a strong company, it's still a viable company. It's still fundamentally sound and can generate some value. So that's a description of Ace Brighton.
Are they listed in Barbados?
No, they are not. Only in Jamaica so far.
Okay.
As explain, I know.
Explain what a dual currency listing is.
Okay, good. Now, opportunities in the marketplace. We spoke about just a general market being listed, the opportunity to buy stocks at a lower price, sell at a higher price as the aim of investing. Of course, if JC introduced some other, technical opportunity, then we might see a reverse of that. There's an opportunity in both up and the down, but for now, we have cross-listed securities that have provided some opportunity. We have some securities, some companies that have issued securities, various securities in different multi-currencies. For example, JMB, its ordinary shares is listed on the market, but JMB also has about six other different securities which are listed in the preference market. And they are J dollar issued and US dollar issued. What are these? These securities are properly registered with the regulatory authorities. They are clearly defined. They are indicated by a prospectus, which outlines things about the company, as well as the securities itself, how they'll trade, what covenants are attached to these securities. They are legally registered securities, okay? And they can be listed and traded as such. In the case of a dual currency listed security, though, it is one security, not two. It is one security, but this security can be traded in several currencies. It means that this very same stock unit can be not converted, but can be placed, traded in the Jamaican market as well as in the US dollar market. And there are some opportunities to that.
Okay. All right. So how good does this opportunity look for us right now? Is this what is your recommendation? Okay. Bearing in mind that this is not investment advice, folks. Mm-hmm. Clive is an advisor, but he's not your advisor. But right. Generally speaking, Clive, are you bullish on Brighton's?
Well, long term, I'm bullish on very much the market. Long term, I think, just based on this stock, the growth trajectory of this stock, especially if you look at the analysis that was done when it was coming public, this stock seemed to have good growth prospects, its acquisitions, etc. It is part of a conglomerate. It is part of a related entities, and I think there's some synergy and support that can come from that. And there's a reason why they're listed on the Jamaican market also. There's quick and easier access to capital, seeing that this market is very fluid and very liquid and has a large potential pool of investors. So there's some benefit that can come from this. As at now, the metric on this stock, on this particular stock, seems good. The return on equity looks good. The PE looks good when compared to the market. Right? And all of the fundamentals seem good. So in the longer term, this, alongside many other securities of its, that is in its sector, could be considered long-term buy. And prices are a little bit depressed in the general market now. But this stock, even at the price of about $40, is a really good price, a really good stock.
What's been their trading history? It's not one that I follow very closely.
Well, they were just listed, became a public traded entity just last November, beginning with the Jamaica Stock Exchange. They are soon, to be listed on the Trinidadian Stock Exchange. Right? So that should provide some cross-border benefit. It will provide access, more liquidity. It is fairly liquid now. It can be bought and sold fairly easily. There's not a long wait to have it, depending, of course, on the price you're willing to trade it at. That's one. So it's fairly liquid here. But that cross-listing will expand this liquidity. The cross-listing will also expand the opportunity for, taking advantage of any difference in prices in the two markets. For example, at some point in time, for various reasons, it can be because of the structure of the marketplace, it can be because of some fundamental with the different economies, the fiscal as well as the monetary of the different economies, you may have discrepancy in prices. So you can buy in one market and quickly send it to the next market to sell. Of course, as I suppose I've said before, that is not a difficult process anymore, especially if you have your account at the same brokerage house or related brokerage houses. For example, the EMMA equity money market system that we have here in Jamaica is the same replicated in Trinidad. So you can easily and quickly move securities from one to the next in the two jurisdictions quite easily, same day. In terms of the dual listed security, now this is one security that is dual listed in two currencies, in this case, Jamaican dollar and the US. Let me give you a little bit of information here. As at March 14, when the JC announced that it will be listed the following day in the US dollar market, the trading price for Ace Bryden on the 14th, it closed at $34.15 Jamaican. It closed on the US dollar market, the date was listed at 22 US cents. If you should multiply that by the BOJ published exchange rate, US to J dollar exchange rate, $1.55.2182. That is $155.20, call it 22 cents. If you should multiply that 22 by that official exchange rate, you get a price of, it was trading at $40.67 on the close of business, close of trading on the 14th. It closed at 22 US cents on that same day. If you should multiply 22 US cents, you'd get $34. It means that you could, hypothetically, on that day, buy that stock in the US dollar market and trade it in the Jamaican dollar market for a premium. Let's say there's no liquidity or the stock was just listed and persons have not yet begun trading much, so you may not be able to get volume. But subsequent to that, up to today, the 19th, which is 4 days after, last Thursday to today, Tuesday, the stock closed in the J dollar market at $39.99. Let's call it $40. It closed in the US dollar market at 0.2201 cents, US cents. Round that up, round that down to 22 US cents. Again, multiply that by today's exchange rate, 154.77. That's about $34.07. So you could have bought it at any point during the last 4 days in the US dollar market and sold it in the Jamaican dollar market at a premium. Let me quote some numbers here to convert it. On the 14th, the stock traded at $40.67 on the J dollar market. It closed the 14th at 22 US cents. On the 15th, last Friday, it closed at $40.18 on the J dollar market. It traded the equivalent at 22 US cents, 0.2217, which is the equivalent of $34.34. Yesterday, it closed at $39.91. It traded the equivalent of $34.30 on the US dollar market. That's a roughly $5 difference. Today, it closed at $39.99 and traded the equivalent of $34.07, which is, again, 0.2201 US cents. So there's some opportunity there. How do we facilitate that? How could that be facilitated here at JMNB? I'm not sure what other brokers' system and process they have, but we have a beautifully laid out equity management system that has worked for several years. And this has caused us to be, for many, 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 many years, the top traded volume and number of transactions. You would have a J dollar EMMA account, equity money market account here. You could open a US dollar equity money market account. And then you can give instruction to your advisor to simply, when you buy the stock in the US dollar market, you can give instruction to transfer to your J dollar EMMA account and put it on the market for sale. And you'd have had some arbitrage opportunity there. So it does present really good dual-listed security.
I was just wondering that. Like, you preempted my question because I'm like, I thought that if you buy in U.S. dollars, you have to trade in U.S. dollars. I didn't know you could go back and forth like that.
If the security is registered legally as a U.S. dollar security, then it must trade in the U.S. dollar market only. Okay? But in this case, this, you know, I'd need to look at the regulator, the process that... that guides this, but this is a dual listed, and there are several others. Ace Bryden is the latest dual currency traded security. There's also Proven. There's also Sterling Investment. There's also TransJamaica. And how you can identify them? There's something called the ISIN number, which is an international security identification number. And these securities have the same ISIN number. So it's one security that is tradable in two currencies. If there were two separate securities, they would have two separate ISIN number. Okay? So that is one way of identifying them.
Where do you find the ISIN number?
That, I think, on the JC website, that should be stated beside the security. Yes, you should be able to get that. That's public information.
So what's like the...
But nonetheless, your broker should be able to advise you as to which securities... Yeah. Yes.
That's the easiest way. Just ask your broker.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Interesting stuff. I hope you guys are taking notes.
Yeah. So again, the market is quite interesting. You see, I mean, the market itself provides the opportunity to grow wealth. But again, the same market based on the structure, based on the facilities, can give varying opportunities. So the one security, not just to buy that one security, but by having it listed in several market and by set meaning either a separate legal jurisdiction in another country, or in this case, in another market in this on the same stock exchange, that again generates a different type of opportunity for you.
Clinton has a great question. Clinton wants to know, is there an additional cost to trade the arbitrage?
No, no. The regular brokerage fee applies. So whatever brokerage fee your broker charges, that is what would apply.
Okay.
Of course, if you're buying one market, you pay fees there on the buy side. You sell, you pay fees on the sell side. But it is, and fees are quite low now. The landscape is far, far more competitive. Back then, it was 2%, maybe a minimum fee or 2 percentage points, which is the maximum allowed, mandated by the stock exchange. Now, brokerage fees are very, very quite low. I mean, on our platform, it's 0.5%. So easily, if you look at price movements throughout the market, even on a daily basis, if prices are moving at 2, 3, 4, 5, 7% moving on a daily, I'm not telling you to engage in speculative and reckless investing, no, but there are various opportunities. And based on the structure of your portfolio, your knowledge of the market and your objective, you can, you know, engage the market in different ways. But if you look at the average price movement, a stock on any day, any stock moving 4, 5, 6, 7%, and there are brokerage fee on one side of a transaction is 1 point. In the case of JMB, at a brokerage fee of 0.5%, including all other fees, would be probably about 1.1, less than 1.1%. On one side, that is, you buy, you pay 1.1%. But a stock price is bouncing 4 or 5%. It means on the sell side, you're paying 1.1%. There is some opportunity for you to trade the movement in prices. You see the fluctuation in prices weekly, monthly, maybe on a daily basis. That is high risk. You know, we don't encourage that type of investing, right? But there's opportunity there also.
Well, we appreciate that insight a lot, Clive. Before you go, are you aware of any other opportunities in the market right now?
Well, you know, the market is coming out of a doldrum. We have seen some appreciation. I was looking at the indices from August, September, October, November, December, January, February, and each month the indices has grown over the next month. So I think that there's some level of, one, the market gets comfortable, interest rate is stable, so the market is slowly coming back in, believing that we may not see increase in interest rate. You know, it's still a little bit tenuous, but all other macro indicators looks good and looks fairly stable, right? So I think the opportunity is the low prices that there are right now. So it's an opportunity to either lock in on the cash flow by buying stocks that are paying fairly good dividend, and quite a number of companies have increased their dividend payout over the last several 2-3 years, even close to COVID. Quite a few companies did that. As well as you can average down on that portfolio that is under the water, you can reduce your average cost. Now it's the most opportune time to begin that process. As to when the market will recover substantially or to back it where it was before is speculative. Maybe, globally and locally, many pundits say that interest rate may begin to decline the latter part of 2024 to the early 2025. But I think 3 years ago, we thought it was 2024, maybe 2023. But it looks a little bit more stable now. So again, now is the opportune time to start buying. Incrementally reduce the average cost. That's the best opportunity now.
Okay. Thanks again, Clive. We always appreciate your presence.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me again.
We'll take our final break and come back with your comments.
This segment of Taking Stock, the Analysts, was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
I see you waiting for me. You're in my reach, but I have to have a little extra push to get close to you. Are you flirting with me? You want me to come get you, but you won't fall into my lap. You want me to show you that I want you. You want me to be responsible and proactive. Okay, you, I'm coming.
Welcome back. Let's see what you guys have to say about tonight's show. Shellyanne referring to Ramon's Mall Ferguson, saying he's a certified human, because he was saying he's certified in so many different things. Also certified as a human. Nana Sen says, boy, you're full of education, very commendable. But then he also wanted to know, why is Barita's share price so low? You heard what he said about company performance last year. It was a tough year in the market. April said, good night. I'm ashamed to say this, but I don't know enough about the stock market to even begin to think of investing. April, that's why we created Investing for Beginners, for people like you, so that you know the questions to ask, you know how to get started, and you feel like you at least have a foundation to build upon. So go to moneymissionja.com, sign up for Investing for Beginners. And yeah, so Nano Sense gave you the same advice. April, join Kalila Masterclass. Let me see, what else do we have here? Philip said, if borrowing is more expensive, choose equity. Be not afraid. You know, Phil, I was thinking the same thing when he said it, that the interest rates were going up and you have businesses maybe being afraid to borrow because interest rates were so high. I'm like, well, perfect time to do your IPO, perfect time to list and raise capital without having to borrow. Andrew said he wanted to hear what Mark had to say. I saw that he finished his presentation outside of Parliament. I'm hoping that he also finishes inside of Parliament, perhaps on Thursday. Patricia wanted to know what A.S. Bryden's stock symbol name is. And the response from the Weekender said ASBH. Andrew said Seprod, you know, the first race. Devon says JMMB Group Limited is my favorite stock to own, adding that it has a very strong balance sheet and good dividends. The Weekender agreeing it's a good time to buy JMMB GL. Roswell said the math is simple. A.S. Bryden's is a company that they acquired. Thus, earning of these companies will add to A.S. Bryden's value based on the synergies of companies' profitability. And Earl said he must agree that the JMMB platform for securities is very good over its competitors. Thank you, guys. Thanks for all these comments. Let me see if we have anything else here. Those are the main ones. Those are the main ones for this evening. So thank you guys so much for tuning in yet again another week. And before we leave, let me just give an extra shout out to our producer, Kristen Page Smith. For those of you who've ever been behind the scenes on the show, you've interacted with us over the past what, 5 years now, you've probably come across Kristen Page Smith. She has been with us since day one of Taking Stock, all the way back in 2019. She's come on this journey with us. And this is Kristen's last evening producing Taking Stock. She is moving on with her life. But we appreciate, we have to take some time to shout out Kristen for her very hard work over these past 5 years, helping us to build the show to what it is today, helping to keep you guys informed, coming up with the topics, finding the guests, making the changes at the very last minute when necessary, interacting with you all behind the scenes, making sure everybody is comfortable. This show is what it is today because of Kristen's hard work and dedication. And I just wanted to say publicly, Kristen, thank you so much for all the work that you have put in to producing this show and to helping the company and the brand grow all the way back since 2019. And we are going to miss you a lot. Guys, give Kristen a round of applause in the comments. I see Raquel saying, we will miss you, Kristen. And she says, awesome job. So on behalf of Team KRM, Now Money Media, Russell says, all the best, Kristen. We wish you well on your new journey ahead. Thank you so much. Now that's it for this week's show. Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. Also subscribe to our newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. Turn on the post notifications so that you can be the first to see everything when it drops. And we have quite a few things coming up in the next few weeks. We do have some potential IPO news. We have a bond offering coming up that we're going to be doing a special feature on. We have something coming out, an offer coming out at Trinidad and Tobago that we're going to be doing a special feature on as well. So make sure that you're subscribed so you don't miss anything. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. I see some more things here. Issa, Patricia says, big up yourself. What good. Stronglink wanted to know if there's a vacancy for him now. Thanks, Kristen. Stronglink, you want to work with the team? Raquel says, growth is always welcome. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray. Remember, that's my only account. I don't have any backup accounts. Please report scammers and impersonators whenever you see them. And if you want to connect with the analysts this week, check the description box below for their contact information. And also visit our website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. Watch, listen, or read. Yes, we do have a podcast version on all podcasting platforms. Now tell a friend about Taking Stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thanks for watching.
Let's get this money.